morning, everybody. What's happening? It is fucking freezing. But we're alive and we are well, and it is Friday and the weekend is here. And I hope you have a nice, warm, cozy weekend planned ahead of you. Or if you're the adventurous type, that you're going to be doing all those things that Leanne always does, like bungee jumping and skydiving and running around with your, you know, your bra on top of your head. She does crazy shit like that every weekend. That's why I always ask her about it, but she just never admits it.
Yeah, you wish I did those things. Maybe I actually do. You never know. But I think life's crazy enough.
I suspect you do. I really do. I think that's what actually happens. So what's news? How are you?
Yeah, all good. Work stress doesn't seem to stop, hey? But we go on. We look forward to the weekend. Some interesting developments in life in general, which I don't know if you want to, we can chat about that a bit later.
That's why I asked. Go on.
So, you know, a big change of life is ahead for me as a woman, something that I haven't really thought much about. You know, growing one or two stubborn hairs on one's chin. Starting to have a little bit of brain fog. Not, you know, the hot flashes. Wondering why everything's so hot in a room all at once. Feeling a bit overwhelmed. All these things that they talk about. You kind of ignore them.
But yeah, didn't all that stuff start for you a long time ago?
It kind of, yeah, it actually does. It starts off slowly over like a 10-year period. And 6 months ago at my last doctor's visit, she said, next time you come, please have these tests done.
Uh-oh, a battery of tests.
So I went and had a battery of tests and arrived, and she said, you know, what sort of, how's your life been? And I just started speaking generally about things. And she said, oh, no, I can explain that, but carry on. I can explain that, but carry on. And pulled out the blood test and said, girl, you've got 6 months to go before you hit menopause.
Jesus. So they have a clock on it. It's not like some random, not really safe or sorry, secure beginning and end time. It actually has dates.
Yeah, people think this perimenopause thing happens for 10 years and you never really get there. When the clock starts ticking, it ticks. She said 6 months to a year and you're done. So straight on to hormone replacement therapy.
Wow.
So that's been a wild ride. I've never had to think about these things before. I don't have friends who are in that position. Yes, Dr. Robin, thank you. There are drugs. I've started my drug journey. But we started off slowly with
a drug journey. Everything these days is a journey, right? So even your menopausal drug journey, this is so exciting.
I think the worst thing is that I experienced was I gained 3 kilograms, which was inexplicable because I was eating less, drinking less, on a GLP-1, exercising a bit more, and I couldn't understand it. And that's when she said, well, I can explain that. So hormones and, well, drugs, you can fix all of the above. So starts off with a gel. And she said, just one pump of the gel. And then I said, but then what must I do with it? Do I eat it? What is it? I don't know any of this stuff. It's all brand new to me. So that you've got to rub onto either the inside of your arms or any... She said, any part of your body with soft skin that doesn't get much sun. So I said, okay, so my body. but yes, and then from there on you move. I may have to, you know, when you're using a contraceptive, one option is to use something called Mirena, which is a loop or a device that they insert in your uterus. Me being celibate, I said to her, is she crazy? I don't need that. She said, no, that's for, you know, the gel is for the estrogen, and then you need to balance it with the progesterone because it could
Good God. What did women do before they even knew that there was such a thing, or before it had a name and doctors took it seriously?
They went crazy and had their hysteria, their hysterectomy, had their uteruses removed.
Yes, that's right.
Because that stopped all the hormonal upsets, right? And in fact, one of the steps in this journey is looking for, especially if you haven't had children like me, when you're barren. Finally, Gareth.
Yeah, I mean, I always remember how you used to joke about that on the show. No. I introduced you once at a party. I went, oh yeah, this is Leanne. She works with me. She's barren.
Yes. No, in fact, you did it in front of who's that uppity Indian lady with her own show that used to be on Carte Blanche?
Oh, Ruda.
No, Indian.
Oh, Devi.
Devi. You introduced me as that in front of her, and she was appalled. She said, how can you, Gareth, firstly, that's disgusting, and Leanne, how can you let him do that? So I said, well, because it's basically true. So there we are. And, you know, you now have to go for these mammograms, and if there are any abnormalities in your uterus, they just remove it. You do just have a hysterectomy.
They just take the whole thing out.
They just take it out and the ovaries. Apparently, you know, with, again, someone who's never had children, it's not a massive up because my uterus will be small. It's like the size of a lemon, as opposed to what they call a 16-week uterus. That would be a woman who's maybe had two kids. Then that's like a bigger up. So I might have that done. Not sure yet. But apparently that's the best thing, because then you can do what you like with the topical and drug hormones that you take.
Jesus.
So, yeah, here we are.
Wow. Okay, well, I mean... hey, listen, part of the fun of having worked with you for so long is that we all get to share in these things as they start happening to people. I put out a video yesterday, which James threw onto, I think, Instagram and X, where I said, you know, this whole idea of going, you know, getting older, having different stuff happen to you that was cool to talk about when you were 20, and how things that you want to talk about now are totally different. I mean, I look at, you know, many of the people in my life who used to be these wild, crazy people, and now their favorite thing is gardening, for example, or whatever. And it sounds bad, and unless you're the one in it, because in the change, it's exciting. It's very, it's novel. It's part of a new chapter you haven't written yet. I think that's quite exciting, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not something to be scared of anymore. Before, hormone replacement therapy was considered dangerous, and that was because of people not knowing about hormone balances and that sort of thing. I see you're going to be on the Devi show yourself, so you can...
No, I mean, if she'll probably have me on to accost me about calling me barren, but that's the only reason I would ever be on Devi's show. Listen, I haven't seen her show in so long. She is still doing it, right?
I think so. I do see snippets online.
So I watched TV. I watched TV on my home TV this week, which I haven't done in ages. I mean, you need a world event, right? So the only reason that I would turn on my TV, and I had to dust off the remote and replace the batteries. That's how long ago I used it. I put my TV on to watch Argentina play England on Wednesday night.
We know you're an Argentina fan.
Absolutely. And I backed them 100%. And, you know, people were surprised, people who don't know me. They're like, but obviously you would support England. Not a chance. I don't know where anybody got that idea. But there were a couple of people online. And you know what was so nice about it is I didn't feel any... You usually have that compulsion because we've had this for about what? We've been having it for like 10, 15 years where we have to share everything that we're doing. I like keeping stuff that I really love and want to talk about for the show. I don't want to be putting it on X or on Instagram. And I do occasionally put stuff up there, but it's really for a different audience. I don't think those people come and listen to the show, and maybe they don't care. But it was so cool to watch the game without like being on a second screen. I didn't have any other distractions. And if you see, like, there are a couple of trends that are happening at the moment. I put this into yesterday's daily briefing about how a lot of Gen Z kids are kids, adults, are now doing everything they can to get away from this always online culture. So it's not just, you know, other generations, older generations, but, you know, young people are like, I don't need to be online all the time. I don't need to be sharing this stuff with everybody. It's actually really special if you don't. And that is really a big change. For at least the last 10 or 15 years, that's what we've done with everything. Everything that happens to you, whether it's good, bad, interesting, you know, you try to share things with people. I had this conversation with someone yesterday too during a meeting, and I said, well, content is worthless these days. It's rapidly approaching the value of zero. This is especially for, because everyone is now a content creator. And unless you differentiate yourself in a spectacular way, you're just one of the herd. And once everybody's doing something, it's not cool anymore. Once everybody is taking part in, once the playground is absolutely chock full of kids all doing the same thing, you don't want to play it anymore.
Yeah. You know, I've picked it up in my workplace. As you know, I work with many Gen Zs. And, you know, I'm finding that I'm using AI more than they are.
Wow.
So,
okay.
When they ask me something, because I'm like the walking encyclopedia there, I'm like their Google. So they'll ask me something and I'll say,
wait, because you know stuff and they have to Google stuff. Do you see all these videos? We'll get back to your story in a second, but do you see all the, by the way, I was admonished for being very interrupty the last time you were on. So I'm extra aware of it now. But while I'm thinking of this, do you ever watch those videos of like people on the street that get asked in interviews for simple questions, like, you know, what's the definition of this? Where's the capital of that? All that kind of shit. And they nobody knows the answers. I mean, they obviously find the dumbest people they can. It makes for better for better entertainment. But these people, most people in the world, Joe Rogan, he has to keep, you know, Jamie, look this up, because he doesn't keep any information in his head. You are the walking encyclopedia in your office, because you come from this bizarre, weird other dimension where you actually had to know things.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, So I often say to them, you know, they'll ask me a question and I'll say, just use ChatGPT. Put it into ChatGPT, because I'm rushed. I don't have time to give them an answer. And so I tell them to just go to ChatGPT. And they all look at me now and say, we don't want to. We want to learn. We want to try it ourselves.
Yeah.
So, if they'll say, I don't know how to answer this email, I say, put it into ChatGPT. No, I rather want to think about it. So that matches what your point was.
How often do you use ChatGPT on a day?
Every few seconds. I run all of my programs through AI. I run all of my strategies, my reporting, all my big projects are run through AI. Yes, that's exactly it.
Just read it so everybody who's listening knows.
The quote says, that's what ass does, from Congo Chris. She drinks and she knows things.
By the way, nice to see Congo Chris back in the comments. I put up something last week that everybody was asking, where is Congo Chris? Because he went quiet for a little while. So welcome back, dude. Anyway, going back to ChatGPT and how often you use it. I'm working with this company now called Cohesion X. Okay, these guys are so ahead of the game. They are building agents, which do all the stuff that you just spoke about with, yeah. you know, checking all your projects through ChatGPT or whatever. And they are able to factor in Grok, ChatGPT, Claude, all of the models, Gemini, yeah. they use the whole lot. And then they kind of compete across all of them to find the best answer. And it is wild how much can be done now. And obviously, you know, still scratching the surface because for the purposes for which I would use it, I'm not doing military grade technology, you know, so I don't need to be thinking 5 or 10 years in advance like some people do. But it is, and these guys are a South African company that do, they do all the private, yeah, agentic AI. But the thing that they do is they essentially build the hardware. There's an actual device that lives there and they unplug it because for security reasons, there's a whole lot of documents that their clients have, legal, HR, all that kind of thing, that you don't want to put into the internet version of the AI because then you have no control over that information anymore. Yeah. And it blew my mind the first time I sat with them in a meeting and they told me like what they do and what they can do because honestly, like we're just at the most tiny scratch on the surface of what's going on. It's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. No, it's amazing. And I think I said it when AI started and, you know, everyone was a bit scared of it or they felt it was cheating. And I used that analogy of the traveling salesman with the encyclopedias who, mm-hmm. when map books came out, was he then cheating? When yellow yeah. pages came out and he used that, was he cheating? When telephones and internet came out and then Google, was he cheating?
No, you just got to use what you want. Imagine not having a hammer and you want to put a nail through a piece of wood. I mean, it's just a tool. And there will be people who use it better and there'll be people absolutely. Who use it worse. And there will be people who use it for absolutely everything, which is also fine. But there are going to be a number of use cases. Interestingly enough, there seems to be a bit of a fight back from, you know, for the longest time we've heard how it's going to take people's jabs and people are going to lose their jabs. And now the experts are starting to say, no, it's going to create more jobs. And some people are betting very heavily on the fact that it's actually going to improve and increase employment, not the opposite way, which is fantastic. If that turns out to be the way things go, then obviously these doom mongers are going to be the same group of people who've been warning us about, you know, climate change and everything's going to give you cancer. They went through, interesting, this cancer thing just came up. They went through every food group. There's this group in California who are like just tired of bullshit on the internet. They went through every kind of food that there is and they found a piece of legit scientific research that proves everything gives you cancer and everything doesn't give you cancer. So basically you can ignore the lot. I mean, you've seen this thing now about sunscreen, right? And how that, it turns out that a lot of the zinc-based sunscreens, we talked about this on the show the other day, that's also bullshit. So a lot of the things that we've taken super, super seriously, always the doom stuff, you know, the apocalypse now stuff. Turns out that most of that stuff is just, it's working on this primitive, dumb part of all of us, which just wants to be frightened. And, you know, these are dumb primates, mammals who are like hiding in trees, just scared of everything. And that's the part they appeal to with this doom stuff.
Yeah. Now I think if anything, I hope, because I'm seeing from AI that I am being fed 90% of the time accurate information. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that the more people who start using it will become enlightened in that way and start disbelieving the myths and realizing things like MSG is not going to kill you and all of those sorts of things.
No. Yeah, no, absolutely. All right. So there's a bit going on in the news this week. There's been quite a lot going on in the news this week. Anything that caught your eye?
Oh, well, it's just been football and Wimbledon. It's just been sporting. I think it's just been great. Yes, I'm one of those women who've become obsessed with Haaland.
Oh, yeah. How awesome is he, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just been nice to get involved in all of that again. I haven't watched Wimbledon in a long time. So I literally had to Google the players and start learning about them again. Fascinating. So, yeah, that was
good.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing that in the middle of our winter, it's actually really conducive for us to watch all of these European and Northern Hemisphere sports, because we're like cozy at home. If you're lucky enough to have a fire or at least a heater or a blanket, it's like the best thing to watch this stuff. I watched a little bit, quite a lot. I didn't watch the whole thing though, of the Wimbledon's men's final, which was excellent. And then of course this week, you know, there were the semifinals on, and it's all come to the most incredible head. It's just great how this panned out. And, you know, conspiracy theorists will say, oh, it was planned from the beginning. And I always go, well, if it was planned from the beginning, why didn't you put money on Polymarket or something and, you know, get your 100,000 Rand right at the start of the match? If you're, oh, all these people are like, oh, no, it was definitely, you know, FIFA want Argentina to win and they wanted Spain in the final. And so if you were so smart and you knew this from the beginning, put some money on it. Let me see, feel the fiber of your fabric, Turkish.
Yeah, 100%. And I've also seen these theories of whatever the logo looks like, or the logo's colors that it carries, FIFA's logo for the World Cup. Mm.
Oh, yeah, they've predicted that.
Flag,
how you know, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, Tour de France. Been watching Tour de France too, Dr. Robin. There was a massive crash yesterday, and there are people who are out of the race. I know this is your favorite topic, Gareth.
I'm not going to interrupt. Go on.
There was lots of torn lycra and roasties and shoulders out of sockets. Massive crash yesterday involving the yellow jersey. But yeah, that's been fun to watch too. And, you know, it reminds me of my dad a lot, who I lost quite recently. So it's very nostalgic. And been enjoying doing that with my mom. But yeah.
Have you noticed
your favorite sport?
I think, yeah, but I know it's your favorite sport, but I've noticed it seems that there are fewer people on the road now on bikes because it's winter, maybe. I'm not sure. Carl DeSantos says, I'd rather Julius Malema plait my pubic hair than watch the Tour de France. I'm with you, dude. I am so with you. Yeah, that's my take on this as well. But am I just imagining it, or maybe I'm not up as early every morning, because I used to be up at like 4:30 Monday to Friday, as you guys know, you were as well. That's when we did the show. And now I get up once a week at that ungodly hour, and it's so fantastic. I mean, I actually genuinely look forward to the show. I don't know when we started doing this, but we should have started like 2 years before that. In the early mornings, though, you would see tons of people, even in winter, on those bikes early in the morning, hitting the road. I suppose that's the only time people have to do it, right? Because they have to get to work.
Not only that, it's traffic. It's the fact that taxis are driving where cyclists are riding, in the yellow lane. So that's a massive thing. I just find that taxis have become more and more reckless. I don't know, maybe it's my old age, but I wouldn't want to be on the roads. But I'm a little bit out of the cycling loop, and in fact people who were in the Tour de France a few years ago as competitors, who I grew up with, the likes of Daryl Impey, South African,
right?
He's now managing a team in this year's. He's like a retired cyclist now. So I'm out of the loop of where everyone's training and what time they're training. But I think if anything, it's got to do with recklessness on the road. It's really, really scary. You've got to pick your spot where you train.
I see a nice compliment here from Juliana, who also looks pretty good, saying, oh my God, Lee Ass looks gorgeous this morning. Yeah, I mean, listen, Ass has come along. I remember when you pitched up on the show once and I said, why have you tarted up? But now you tart up for us every morning, you know? You even said this morning you strapped on a bra this morning. Okay. Oh, look, you can still do that. You're not completely menopausal.
Oh, no, my hips are great.
And you can still do a Shakira impersonation. Yeah, they are. I'm sure they are. I got a weird thing happen to me this week, which hasn't happened in ages. You know when you get that funny kind of pre-migraine thing? And you can't really see properly and all that. Yeah, the visual stuff. I didn't get the headache. I think I just overdid it on Wednesday afternoon, and then I had to record my daily briefing. So I was sitting here recording, and like the screen was starting to do this, and I got through it, thank fuck. But I felt so sorry for Janine, who had to edit it afterwards. I said to her, oh my God, I don't know how you're going to make sense of this. And then what I did is I just went and lay down for like an hour and a half after that. I woke up and I was fine. It's funny that it came back suddenly though, and I can't help thinking it's like it's overdoing stuff, maybe too much caffeine. I'm not entirely sure on what that might be, but there are funny things that they're able to figure out now with blood tests that if you go for too many of these things, they'll discover stuff that you didn't even know was wrong and you just want to stay away from anyway. So I'm not a fan of, I know you're a fan of this, of going to doctors and getting the whole battery of tests that you were talking about earlier. Because sometimes they find out a bunch of stuff that you actually better off not knowing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's that guy, what's his name? Now I'm allowed to forget things, which is great. Got a good excuse. The
you have
guy
a legit
who's
reason, yeah.
Super healthy and he's trying to live forever. Now his son's like
Brian Johnson.
Certain of his
Brian Johnson.
Thank you. You know what's happened with him now?
No.
So he who wanted to live forever, they've found that he has a rare autoimmune disease, and.
Jesus.
It's possibly going to end his life sooner than he thought. And
oh my
a lot
God.
Of naysayers have said, Yeah.
I just want to say, like, this proves what I think you and I both agree on. It's like, enjoy your fucking life. You don't know. Something's going to come around the corner. We always used to use Lance Armstrong as the example before he was outed as like this cheater and all that. And I know he wasn't. So let's not go down that angle of things. But if you live your life and you always eat the like boiled chicken and the broccoli and you wake up every morning at 4 a.m. and you're one of those optimizers, you know, and then you get like an autoimmune disease, I just go, what was the point? You didn't get any advantage over someone who lies around eating ice cream from a tub every night. Mm-hmm. You don't have any advantage. They're probably going to outlive you. And what did you do it for? You didn't get to see your friends. You didn't get to ever have a drink of alcohol. You never did anything that broke the rules. You were like trying to be perfect. And then this comes and it like smashes you in the face. It's just, it feels really, really awful. And I it's not a I told you so thing. I just almost want to rewind for those people and say, now that you know this is going to happen, enjoy what you've got, right? Go fucking ballistic. Do all the things.
Yeah, it feels that way. But, you know, then there are the naysayers with this in this case who are saying, oh, well, yeah, he kind of deserves it because he thought he was so perfect. And look at him, he's not. You know, and he's like, I welcome people who laugh at me. You know, I didn't promise that I was going to live forever or that nothing was going to happen to me. This was a big experiment. He was just kind of going with it.
I mean, Carl says that Brian Johnson is going to die from an air filter falling on his head. Even his disease is auto. Yeah, listen, you're allowed to take a little bit of kind of schadenfreude, I suppose, when anyone who does better than you anywhere in anything, like someone who's smarter than you, better looking than you, younger than you, more successful than you, you can, and we can't help it. We just do this as people. you feel like you've somehow won when they lose. But you know, I love the fact that there are people in the world who are pushing the frontiers, who are trying to discover, who knows that Brian Johnson hasn't at least advanced the idea of longevity by, you know, a fraction. And if he's done that, he's done that for all of humanity. He's put himself through very strange processes and he's lived this awful regimented life. So I wouldn't want that for me. And I take no pleasure in the fact that he's been diagnosed with something. I didn't know this until you told me this morning. But at the same time, I kind of go, thanks, dude. You know, you did this so we don't have to.
Yeah, I feel grateful to him because I know that people are learning from all the tests that are being run on him. And, you know, he's a walking experiment. So, thanks, because I wasn't going to do that. That's for sure.
Oh, I thought that was what you were. I thought that was what you were talking about with your battery of tests.
No, definitely not.
Let's look at a couple of other things that are happening in the universe because there is so much going on at the moment. And also in the comments, I see from Morgs of Cape Town, diagnosis is a spell. So many people are fine and they get diagnosis and are sick and die months later. Yes, this does happen. I mean, you know, I do believe in the power of the mind, but at the same time, there are physical realities that you just have to deal with. And part of me is like, oh, well, better to know. And the other part of me is what I expressed just now, where I said, I don't want to know all the stuff. Don't look for shit where there isn't trouble, because if you seek, ye shall find, right?
Yeah, but also look at the order there. People are fine. They get a diagnosis. They're sick. They die months later. So what's the other order? People are fine. They get sick. They get a diagnosis and then they die. I'd rather have the diagnosis earlier so that I can try and alleviate symptoms before they start.
Zamalek is the water of immortality, according to Congo Chris. I mean, there's a lot to be said for the fact that we come from a long line of alcoholics. Certainly Western European humans, so if you're white, your ancestors were drinking, and everybody in the world was drinking at a certain time, even the Muslims. But let's just look at the whites, because I've studied this history. In Europe, you could not drink from the wells and the rivers because you would get sick and die. And the worst thing you could get was like a bacterial infection, because there was no medicine for that. And the chances of you dying from a stream in kind of northern KwaZulu-Natal in the 1600s, much, much lower than dying from drinking from the Seine River in France, you know. So our ancestors, in order to get their required amount of liquid, let alone water, they had to drink alcohol. They'd boil water occasionally, but who wants to drink water that's been boiled on an open fire? You know, your clothes smell after that. Anyway, so drinking, the ones who survived were the ones who drank. So there is an argument that's going on at the moment about how people who are alive today, who are the descendants of Western Europeans, and obviously the ones who didn't survive are not descendants because they're not here. Those people have developed not just a propensity for alcoholism, which is obviously a problem. You know, you have lots of people who have massive drinking problems all over the world, but you also have a certain amount of drinking tolerance, and probably your body has, through evolution over many generations, your genes have identified the beneficial aspects of that as well as the negative ones. The some things they can do nothing about, but they have developed an ability to make some of it useful to you. And I've always been a massive fan of, like, I have no scientific data to prove this, but I have been a massive fan for a long time of social binge drinking and then not drinking the rest of the time. And it seems to be working for my, you know, my general...
Your constitution.
My constitution, yeah. It kind of works for that. And I don't miss it if I don't drink, which is good, because the minute you do something because you need to, or because, you know, it's a habit and you're addicted, that's never a good thing. Bronwyn Spring says, have you seen the interviews online of the 100-year-old grannies and how they lived? They drank regularly, ate chocolate, and napped. Well, yeah. And the diet is obviously a big part of that. But we talked about longevity before. Number one thing is as many meaningful human connections, relationships as you possibly can have, you must have. That is the only overarching factor that makes all the others look like small fry by comparison.
Yeah, I'd say even beyond human, okay, human I'd put first is those relationships, but another big factor is even your relationships with your pets or having a pet.
Sure.
Just giving you that sense of purpose, that routine, getting up, having someone dependent on you, something dependent on you.
That's all hugely important. I also spoke to a friend of mine the other day. He's got two little girls and they didn't have pets for a long time. And there's also a beneficial arrangement that goes on there, which people maybe don't realize until they get pets if you've never had them. That is that there are certain immunities that you build up. You know, the kids who've never had pets are the same ones who everything has to be sterilized around there. They're allergic to everything. They start sniffing and coughing the minute anything in their environment isn't filtered. I mean, you can't be weak and fragile like that. And pets are like it's a metered dose of certain things that stop you from becoming like one of those snotty, pain in the ass kids. You have to have germs in your environment, rather have the safe germs in inverted commas than the dangerous ones, right?
Well, I mean, look at kids who've grown up on farms. They've done studies on that. There's
much certain healthier
children in many cultures. So you're looking at your Afrikaans Buddha kids, you're looking at your black maize farmers. Having goats on your farm and all sorts of livestock, right, and being exposed to that drinking.
Oh, why did you bring up goats? You know I hate goats.
Eating those eggs straight from the chicken, drinking from the cow.
No. you mentioned farming. So we've got these friends who live in the Free State and we've been family friends of theirs for years. Beautiful farm near Philippoulos, couple of farms actually. And they cultivate the finest lamb in the whole world, right? They are coming. Villy's coming up here to do, he's donating a sheep for this thing called Lamb Champs. Have you heard of this?
No.
Oh my God. They do this big thing in Pretoria where all the best sheep from all over the country come and then everybody gets to taste it. And you don't have to ask me twice about going to eat lamb, right? So he's coming up. I think it's next weekend. And I'm going to Pretoria for Lamb Champs. Do you know how excited I am?
Are they bringing the animals up live? Like,
I think they slach them on the farm. I'm pretty sure they do.
Oh, okay. Because that's a bit weird.
Don't get all squeamish on me. You know where meat comes from.
No, I know. But I thought it might be, it's something that I would enjoy, but not if it's like, this is Charlie, he's the sheep that was born. And then you eat Charlie, you know?
No,
not
man.
Into that. I don't really want to see that.
I thought this would interest you. I heard something interesting the other day on the internet about how different words came from when the Normans conquered England. So English people before the Normans used to say sheep. And then because the Normans spoke French, they called it mouton, which is where mutton comes from. And boeuf instead of beef, because it was cow. And pork instead of pig. And it used to be like a class difference. So if you were a peasant, you'd say pig and cow and sheep. and chicken, obviously. And if you were smart and your ancestors had conquered the other people, then you would say mutton, beef, poultry, that kind of thing. So it's an interesting, obviously now it doesn't count nearly as much, but you can still see it in the way that we speak. I love those linguistic videos that come up every now and then in my feed, which teach me things about the etymology of words. It's bad. I'll never get bored with that shit. I literally will go down a rabbit hole and spend 3 hours watching videos like that and not even realize the time has gone by. It's crazy.
Yeah, love that. You know that. Yeah. Yeah, there's And I thought it was something that everyone knew or would have an automatic interest in. But there are people who do not give a shit about words. They just don't care. They don't care about the meaning of them.
Isn't there an argument to be made that because AI is essentially still basically large language models, that's the major underlying foundation of so much of it, that it is in your interest to know how language works if you want to get the best out of an LLM? Surely that alone should be motivation for people. It's fascinating. It's the second kind of degree reason to listen to it. But it's just, language is fucking wild. It's amazing. And obviously, if you know more than one language, it's even better. Gareth, I'm the same with lesbian porn, says Carl DeSantos. What a coincidence. 2 hours gone. Carl, I know you're kidding, but
that's a lot of time to be watching porn.
2 hours. Like, how long? Just
surely you only need a few minutes.
Oh my God. Who needs that much time, Carl? Unless you're setting aside the afternoon to kind of just, give yourself a treat or so. I don't know how this works.
Yeah, I don't know if I could watch porn for like 2 hours. I don't have a need do that.
I'll be honest with you, I haven't watched any of that shit for a long time. And by a long time, I mean at least a few weeks. I just, you have these periods in your life where you kind of are into something and then you're not. For me, it's way more pronounced. So I'll be into a certain subject or into a hobby or designing something or writing or creating something. And then everything else just shrinks into the distance. I think guys are better at this than girls, that we can completely pour ourselves into one thing and forget about everything else. And sometimes I know I should be paying attention to some other stuff, but I'm so absorbed by, again, it could be designing stuff. I've spent an inordinate amount of time doing that lately. And this is not a job. This is not stuff that's going to earn me money. But I'm so into it that I find myself doing it all the fucking time. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, of course, it's being hyper-focused on something.
Yeah.
And you lose attention. And so it's not a male versus female thing. It's an ADHD.
Yeah, but there's studies now that they it's fairly conclusively proven that men become far more absorbed by a task, particularly if it's a mechanical or a thing task as opposed to a people task. Like women have the ability to focus on social relations in a way men never can. Men think, oh well, I've spent a lot of time patching up these relationships and paying attention to my significant other. And guys think they're doing that, but they're nowhere near at the operating ability of a woman when it comes to that stuff. It's not possible. You know what I'm talking about?
There are differences. To knit together the stories of menopause this morning and hyper-focused interest in activities, I had the amazing opportunity, which I'm saying very sarcastically, of taking my aunt, which is every few months, to a shop called Arthur Bales in Linden.
What's
in
that?
Johannesburg, which is a wool and embroidery and knitting and fabric and sewing shop.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it's a cultural experience going to this place, especially on a Saturday. So off we go with her and her walking stick and her backpack and everything else to go with a long list of things from my mom. Wool, we've got jersey patterns. We know what colors we need to get. We know that my mom wants to recover the dog's basket, so we need dog fabric, certain knitting needles, what crochet sizes. That place, there isn't a scent to a place like that, but you can almost smell the menopause. It is filled to the brim with confused women. All
oh
of these
God.
Women don't, they are all scratching their heads.
Look at you doing all of this. You're basically running a one-man old age home here, you.
Yes.
Looking after these old ladies.
These women don't know what color to find. They're torn between fabrics. They're intrigued by a new wool that's hit the market. The one's going to Cape Town, but there's a sale in 2 weeks' time. She doesn't know whether to
What's the shop called?
Arthur Bales.
I've never heard of it. That's amazing. You've just taught me something amazing. I mean, I'll never use this information, but I'm delighted to know it. All right, listen, I've got some. I meant to have mentioned this at the start of the show, but we got Mups Mponyane coming on later on, who's always great. Love seeing Mups. It's going to be great to catch up with him. So he's on his way. But I actually have an amazing guy on called Dr. Ray, who I spoke to a little while ago. You know, there are obviously lots of doctors who are now well versed in the language of GLP-1s and all the rest of it. But I found Dr. Ray. We had a meeting about some. He's got his own podcast. He's doing some stuff on social media. But basically, he is the guy when it comes to this. And I think people are so interested in this subject. There was news this week about a certain South African company that had to withdraw and recall a bunch of their GLP-1s. And I thought it would be a good idea to get him on because, you know, there are lots of people in South Africa for health reasons, or sometimes I would hope the major reason would be health, but there are a lot of people who, you know, want to lose weight for all kinds of other reasons, which obviously come back to health, but there are lots of reasons to do this stuff. And I thought it would be a great idea to talk to Dr. Ray.